God has done and what He's continuing to do, the vision of bringing to this Quad City region. Listen, if this is your launching place, look out, ladies. It's going to be awesome. This is awesome. But what God has in store, you are world changers when you're going to do it from the Quad Cities. As you come together and unify around the name of Jesus and His love. Well, it's such an honor, and I am so blessed to be with you and be part of this. And I just want to introduce myself a little bit. Like Pastor Lori said, we will be celebrating in 7 weeks, 37 years in ministry at the location in Moortown, Indiana. We actually started before that, but 9 years before. Briefly, we have been serving after graduation from Bible school in a small community in southern Indiana. And we sensed that God was about to bring us into a season of change. So we started praying and seeking the Lord and fasting. And through that time, God dropped the word workshop inside my husband. And I said, workshop over time. And we really felt drawn to the world. We felt like God sent us to the hard places, we'll go. And we were very willing to lay our lives down to leave our family and our home and go, you know, for another nation to serve the Lord. Well, he said, no, I think it's in Indiana. I can make it in Google it. So we got out of the network. And we found it. And I was like, that is a work from Indiana. So we packed up our two babies and drove up to Warsaw. And we're driving around, and there's churches on every corner. We are in a small rural farming community, but it's also the orthopedic capital of the world. And there's 130 churches in the community of the county that has a population of about 75,000. Yeah. So I'm like, how are there churches everywhere? Are these sure? And we were praying in the spirit and just picking the Lord, walking around the community. We crossed the railroad tracks, and God dropped a vision in our hearts for what He wanted to do in Warsaw, Indiana. And He said, I want you to come, and I want you to bring new life to the center. That's obvious. Those that are lost, that have never heard the wonderful message of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I want to bring new life to this place. Well, there were people in churches that were just dying on the body. They were just caught up in the religious tradition and really didn't know about living the relationship with the Heavenly Father. He said, I want you to go a Christian family church. In that season, there were Christian centers popping up everywhere. They were drawing people into a religious teaching atmosphere. They specifically said, Christian family church. And so, if he went on to say, it will reach the world that talks the love of Jesus. So we packed our two babies up, popped our car for $500, and set off to follow the vision and the dream that God has put in our hearts. There was nothing here in the NAFTA that looked like it was going to work. Nobody invited us. You know, God just called us and gave us the invitation. And we said yes. And now, 37 years later, we're on almost 30 acres of land. We are getting ready to build a new sanctuary to accommodate the congregation. We are coming back strong from COVID in Jesus' name. And we have literally gone around the world. Only God can do that. And I look back and I remember, you know, thinking, we knew we were going to have a world in that church, but it was just me and the two kids, my husband, and maybe a couple other people, and people came and looked, and then we just, you know, it didn't happen fast, it didn't happen overnight, but we stayed faithful to call and look at God's time. And I think, you know, despite not small things, look at this room right now. Look around, because each of you has been drawn here by the Holy Spirit to be part of the vision that God has for this region. So, despite not small things, because God's going to do something that will blow you away. Amen. I brought a few products. is the first book that's completed. I'm working on a couple more. This is a miracle testimony about being healed with paralysis. I was giving birth to our third son, and after the miracle of conception and even being able to have children, we lost our first child, and we're told that I would never be able to carry our child full term. We are seeing two miraculous children born, our oldest and middle son. And then, you know, I was kind of talking, hey, we did this. It turned out it was supernatural. It was awesome. But with the third son, I went into delivery, and they came back and told me that he was presented double foot and breech. He was in a birth canal, and we had to have an emergency C-section. Well, we looked at the doctor and said, please bring me to and that's the rest of the story. It's worth reading. It's a quick read. It's an easy reading that's there and available for you. My husband authored the book, Newness, about renewing the mind. And you can't have a transformed life if you can get into the book and you renew your mind. When we're born again, our spirits are recreated in Christ, but a lot of our old attitudes and ways of thinking really haven't changed. So we have to do what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. And he is such a good storyteller, the way he puts pictures to the word to help you identify with it and assimilate it to then make you hungry for more. Forgiveness and Acts of Violence is another book that he wrote. It's the best read. It is so popular in our county jail. I'm serious. We bring cases and cases of that book to county jail, but it's literally gone around the world. And this book, Forgiveness and Acts of Violence, just ministers to the reader about the plan that every night for your life, he can come in. Through bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment. But when you walk in forgiveness, you destroy the plan the enemy has meant for you. Amen? So that's just a quick little info, Myrtle, about those three books. Well, are you ready to wind this up? I was excited as Pastor Lori started to minister this morning that we have the same verses of Scripture. And you know what? I love that. I love that it reflects the hope of the beginning on the inside. And, oh, I forgot, these pictures, would you like to see my family? I'm a mama and a grandma. I have 8 grandchildren. I have 4 children. And there they are. Our son and his wife, Alyssa, he is our staff assistant director. He says God's calling his life and can run along with us. These are pictures in UCF Ukraine where we frequently do marriage encounter ministries to ministers. So God has really opened doors for us throughout the Ukraine and other former Soviet countries. We've been in Poland and I'm not sure where else, but all over. And it's been a real joy to see pastors and marriages get so solid and healed because we want our pastors strong, amen, so that they can go the distance and do what God called them to do. So that's some of the ministry there. So I'm blessed. I keep coming to this is awesome. And right now my husband, he's home taking care of 2 of them. All by himself. It's amazing. Yeah. So the beginning is breathing. I think about the word right now. Who knew that, you know, COVID was going to be on the horizon? And the one distinction about COVID medically is the symptom of not being able to breathe. So here in Italy, we came in with this COVID thing and tried to take our breath away. And then we had the case of George Floyd and the injustice over racial issues in the nation and the phrase, I can't breathe, reverberating over and over again around the world. We understand that breath is the very essence of life itself. Not being able to breathe is literally depriving someone life itself. And in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. There's been almost like a stranglehold on the body of Christ over the past several months. People have really, it's been astounding to me to see how many people have not only fallen away from faith, but they have heeded what they hear, the noise, the chatter in the world, in the media, over the voice of the prophet. And I do believe that today, just as it's been said over and over again, that the Heavenly Father wants to breathe new life into you, into me. But already we have said the spiritual refreshing and renewal to be here in the presence of the Lord, in the ministry of the Word, in the ministry of worship. And I know that I'm not going to leave here the same way I came. I never want to give a word that I don't experience that word for myself. So I hope you don't feel like I'm preaching at you. I am sharing what God has laid on my heart with all to hear and to receive from. When Lori referenced Ezekiel 37, there were some things that the Holy Spirit really drew my attention to, if I could put a highlighter on it in my Bible. And so in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, and like you said, it's wordy, but it's worth reading. And what he has to say is it's important because he's repeating it again. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and put me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. Verse 2, then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. It doesn't take us very long to look around and see how many different people die and thirsty in their relationship to the Lord. That they are, some even dying on the bottom, but that's not what God wants. And indeed, they were very drunk. And he said to me, some men can be. The Holy Spirit said to me, think about the word both, can be, live. These who are drunk. These that look as though they have no life in them. So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Let me tell you something. I think the simple gift in prophecy is when we read God's word and we decree and declare it over our minds. His word is breathing, full of life, by his spirit for us. And so often we see something. We mentally assent to the fact that we know what the scriptures say and that they're true, that there's a power in declaring, there's a power in prophesying, just like then God said, and it was so. And we need to take the truth in God's word. And we need to decree and declare them over our lives, even when nothing looks like it aligns with that word or that promise. When we don't even feel like it, or we feel like we're lying because it just seems so far from our reality. But God's word is truth. And a long, long time ago, when I was believing God for my marriage, God said to me, speak my words are truth, and my truth will change your reality. And I've lived that now. I've been married 44 years this past July. And if you saw a little snippet of our testimonies in the 701, my husband and I were married 3 years, and after the death of our first child, we were one signature away from divorce. He filed, we were temporarily separating, and I went back into a very dark lifestyle that I was living when he met me. And he was meeting church tomorrow because I'm in church tomorrow. It's pretty wild, I'm telling you. When I talk about it, I think, God, your grace and mercy is still And he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O bones, hear the word of the Lord. Do you hear that? Do you hear not just the verse, but the voice behind the verse? That God is speaking very specifically to us in this season. Speak to the dryness in our lives, in our relationships, in our marriages, with our children, with our finances, whatever journey it might be. That we speak these words of life so that it will live. It will live the way God always intended for it to live. Every promise in God is being completed. Not only in the United States, but literally around the world. All the things that God has established, the enemy has tried to shake. But let me tell you something. We have a promise. As we build our house on the firm foundation of the truth of His Word, the storms will come. And they'll beat on that house. But the house that's built on the rock will stand. It's built on the sand ship. Rains come, and the rock falls. But we have a solid foundation, and that is the rock, Jesus Christ and His Word. He and His Word are one. And we need to build again. We need to shore up those foundations when we feel like we're just drowning and without breath. He said, hear the Word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord to Ephraim, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I'm telling you, you're still here today, because the enemy has no weapon that is greater than the weapon of God's Word, the voice of His Spirit, and His breath. Bring life back into you again. You are not a statistic, but you're going to rise up in new life in the name of Jesus. And you're going to know the breath and life of God again. You may think that it's been years, and you look at maybe the past and how you may feel like you failed God. That you didn't do what maybe you should have done, that you know worked, and you've been complacent. And you've been carried away with the circumstances of life, and just life itself, just motherhood, just taking care of this, that, or the other. I mean, they say a woman's work is never done, and that's the truth. I mean, even as a grandmother, I could stay busy. We could stay busy. We could be a Martha. We could be a Martha. But God says, now is the time. So prophesy. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And I say, pour it out on me, Lord. Pour it out on me. Why not you? Why not you? He's calling you. Hear the word of the Lord. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you will live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin to put breath in you. And you shall live. He says it again. Are you hearing the word of the Lord? I am breaking through in the name of Jesus the barrier of lies and deception that the enemy has surrounded your mind and your heart with. And it's literally taking the breath of God away from you. And trying to suffocate you and tell you, you were the exception to the rule. It was going to work for everybody else, but it wasn't going to work for me. Well, I'm telling you today, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that God is saying to you, you will surely live. You will surely live. And I don't mean just survive. I mean thrive. I mean become part of a great army of women. That God has put a mandate on for this reason. You shall know that I am the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He heard me to be God. I will heal you like I used to. I can't sleep at night. I'm laying in my bed. The thoughts of all my inadequacies are just bombarding me. But he says, surely. cherub, you will know the kingdom of the Lord. And not just the Lord, but your Lord, who loves you so much. Even when you can feel like you have strength to fight the battle, he is praying for you. See the right hand of the Father, ever looking to make intercession for you, wanting you to know that it's not by your might or power, but it's by his Spirit. Ezekiel 37, verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Let me tell you something. There's been a noise in the land for this year. This is a horrible clamor. Have any of you besides me wanted to stuff your fingers in your ears and say, I don't want to hear it anymore? I don't want to hear it. The funniest thing happened the other day. We were driving from Warsaw to Fort Wayne, that's our big city. That's our big city. There's about 70,000 in that city alone. It's an hour away from Warsaw. And we're just driving along. We had our navigation system on because we were going to a location we hadn't been to before. And so as we're driving along, you know, we're listening to the radio or the navigation lady tells where to turn and things like that. And all of a sudden, this noise came through her soundness. It was our daughter's voice and our daughter-in-law. We're like, what in the world? What happened? We had tuned ourselves into a specific thing. We were tuned into our navigation system so we could run our journey exactly where we intended to go. And then all of a sudden, it was interrupted by my daughter and my daughter-in-law. I'm thinking, what in the world happened? We're on Highway 30. And all of a sudden, I realized, okay, I told my daughter-in-law, I said, how come I just heard you on the car radio? She goes, I don't know what happened, Mom. She said, I was just talking to Brady. I said, we know, we heard her. That's my daughter. And what I realized is, my daughter previously had driven my car. And so she had hooked up her Bluetooth and my sister. And unknown to us, she was traveling on the same path we were, she was just in a different lane. And when her car got posted up to our car, her phone conversation went from her phone into my sound system. And I thought about that. I thought about the fears of parallels. I thought about how we can really set our course and be going down the right path and all of a sudden. You hear a voice that you never intended to tune into. And it changed everything in the atmosphere. And I talked about that moment because it was so strange for one thing. And then I realized I had to believe that person. Okay? Hang on, there's a spiritual lesson in this. So, when we get inundated and contaminated by the noise that's around us, we have to do something intentionally to delete their access. We can't just say, you know, wait a minute, it's got all over me when I go down. You feel like fear is creeping up from the ground or something like that. You can take thoughts you have never thought before. And it seems a little bit more challenging to override them with the truth that you've shown in your heart. So don't ignore it. Take a word a little bit. Speak to those things and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Every demonic thing is subject to his name. Resist the devil. Submit to God first. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And sometimes I will say that out loud. I submit to you, Father, I resist whatever that devil is trying to bring. And I command you to flee in Jesus' name. Don't just ignore it. Don't just know, because words work, but words don't work. Be a doer of those words. Another thing I recognize is we can be on our journey in life, and the enemy will try to come in right alongside us in the other lane. And what we have to do when he there is just keep going. Just overtake him and keep going. Don't let him distract you. Psalm 55, verses 1 through 5 in the Amplified Bible. They sing it this way. Listen to my prayer, oh God. So love songs. Because he is real. He's real. He doesn't specialize. The attacks aren't real. There's a day when you really have to fight. You know, stay on top of what the enemy tries to do to defeat you. He says, listen to my prayer, oh God, and do not hide yourself from my pain. Listen to me and answer me. I'm restless and distraught to my complaints. I'm distracted. I'm distracted at the noise of the enemy. Because of the pressure of the wicked. So they bring down trouble on me. And in anger, they persecute me. My heart is entangled between me. And terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling have come upon me. Horror and fright have overcome me. And I'm saying, oh, awake, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and get rest. The one thing about David is he moves from the reality of the challenges that he's facing emotionally and in every other way to putting himself again in remembrance of who God is and that he is his high power. He is his refuge. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. He will sustain you and he will never allow the consistently righteous to be made to move, slip, fall, open out. Cast all of your cares upon him, Peter says. Amen. So we see that, you know, the challenges are real. They're real. They're very real. The feelings are very real. And not only in the Psalms, we hear it in, you know, people completely can't hear it in honest with God about the struggle. But he puts himself in remembrance, and he encourages himself in the Lord, and he speaks of God's goodness. So when you're in that place where you feel that overwhelming anxiety or struggle, go ahead and voice that to the Lord. Sometimes when we just don't, it's really hard for us to activate our faith. I think about David when he came back from Ziklag, the whole community was burned, and their wives and children were gone, and he had come in while they were out doing their job. They were going to war. They were battling for the liberty and freedom of the people, and they came back and everything was gone. And it says that David wept, and he could weep no more. I know the outcome of David is a hero, and I look at how he rose up again and again and again. He conquered the enemy. And he wept so he could weep no more. And then after he wept, he said, he stopped walking. And he was able to hear the voice of the Lord and obey it. And he went out and he recovered all. He recovered all. The breathing was gone. It was a reality. And it hit him emotionally. And he wept over it. He cried so hard he couldn't cry anymore either. But when he released that emotion, he was able to go to God and hear from heaven and then obey God's voice and go out and recover everything. And sometimes people try to speak so much that there will be self-engagement that really predict our faith. Like the church, if we just released it, it's no longer a hindrance. It was released. It was given to us. It's like casting your care upon the Lord. If you ever fish, and you use a fly to find it, you have to throw that thing away from you. You don't ignore it. You have to pick up the rod and reel, and you have to cast that line away from you. And God says, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. I can tell you the truth, honestly, I'm still a recovering Martha. It's very easy for me to stay busy. I can always find something to do, something that is, pretty clamoring for my attention. But I'm excited. Against that Martha spirit, to have a Mary spirit, where I do what the Lord says in Luke 10:38. While they were on their way, they heard of Jesus, that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into our house. We receive him, and we welcome him into our house, but the ones who there, what are they doing with him? Well, verse 13 says he had a sister named Mary, who was seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied, gambled and said, and she did it. Was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then, help me, come right in and do her part with me. When we have a Martha spirit, we get frustrated that other people are not actively involved, shoulder to shoulder with us, being as busy as we are. I remember distinctly a few years ago when I was talking to a friend that hadn't talked to me for a while, and I kept saying, it's busy. And I was using that phrase a little bit too often. And the Holy Ghost kind of nudged my spirit and said, You're too busy. And I'll tell you what, all the busyness that we have doesn't produce what Martha can produce at the feet of Jesus. It's Martha's spirit, it's Martha's attitude. And Jesus said, the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one, or but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. And that was sitting at the feet of Jesus. God has really been teaching me even broader ways to, pray without ceasing, keeping his presence, receive from him, even throughout the normal routines of the day, the interruptions that come. It's like when you fast and pray. After about the third day, I find myself so hungry for him that I am not any longer hungry for food, but I'm hungry for his presence. It's just amazing how the more time we spend in his presence, the hungrier we get to be. And the more nourished we are from being in his presence. I need to keep Martha looking at a bad rap. You just had a bad rap in John 11, verse 5. I found it very interesting that Jesus said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, and he loved her. So he mentioned Martha even before Mary, saying, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister. He didn't name her name, and Lazarus. Her. So even when maybe we fall short, even when maybe we have that Martha, Martha kind of spirit on us, and we're seeing far too busy, he still loves you. He doesn't dismiss you. He's still drawing you and inviting you into his presence. He's saying, go deeper with me. Stillness with him produces so much more than our business. In Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. And fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of this natural realm. That's action translation, so good in some verses. And then again, in Psalm 17, words he breathed, and worlds were birthed. Let there be in your words, springing forth from the moment he spoke. No sooner said than done. You're created in his image and his likeness. And it's his desire that you take words that he spoke and you breathe them again. Bless the Lord to your situation, to your circumstances, and know that God is watching over that word to be attached. Psalm 138, verse 3. That very moment I called out to you, you answered me. You strengthened me deep within my soul and breathed fresh courage into me. When he calls you, maybe it's in the early morning hours, and you think, cool, but this feels so good. In the next few hours, I'm going to have to check anyway, and the kids are going to be wanting all my attention. He's calling you. He's calling you because he wants to strengthen you, deep within. He wants to breathe fresh courage into you. There are times when I stayed in the bed after I heard that call. And you know, I'll go through the day, and immediately I'll be in a situation or circumstance, and I'll know that was the moment he's calling me for. Calling me to come apart, to be with him. To allow him to bring fresh courage into me, to strengthen me from deep within. I mean, you know, he can do it in a moment. You don't have to be in that prayer closet for hours. It's wonderful if you can, but if you can't, even 5 minutes in his presence, in obedience to that invitation, will produce so much for you. I believe that God wants to breathe deeper into all of us today. He's saying, go deeper in me. Go deeper in me. You know, the word Selah is at the end of so many psalms. It's many times throughout the psalms. And that word Selah, I looked it up because I thought it meant rest. Concern, it is translated rest. And we know that Psalm 46:10 says, still and know that I am God. Psalm 68, verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with blessings, even the God of our salvation. Selah. And that word Selah there means breathe, consider, and to still. You know, I probably would have been diagnosed as a child as a little bit of ADD. And now I know he can get from God to keep his motor running and serve him with fervor. Amen. But he has sanctified it. But so the stillness, you know, even like the worship, when the worship leader up here, it can get quiet. And it's sometimes today it feels a little awkward or uncomfortable. And we like the, you know, the constant ebb and flow. You know, when everything goes quiet, as she said, that means somebody's probably doing something you're not supposed to be doing. And when you're a mom with young kids, you understand that. But we need to be comfortable in the stillness and the quiet places. We have to quiet our places. We have to quiet our places. We have to quiet our atmosphere so that we can really tune in and find that frequency. Where the Heavenly Father speaks directly to our spirit and to our situation, and he brings courage and strength into us. So I just love that Salem needs to breathe and to consider. In the Living Bible, Psalm 16:13 says, it's an interlude. Praise the Lord. Praise God, our Savior. For each day, He carries us in His arms. Salem. Praise be to the Lord. God, our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. You know, right now I'm training as a fitness teacher, Bible breaker. I'm going to be doing a program called Revelation Wellness. And listen, I haven't been in school in a long time, so this has been a little challenging. But I'm learning some things about the way we're made up and how important breathing is. We know breathing is important to life. But do you know that most of the time we just breathe from the very top of our lungs? We only use about a third of the capacity of our lungs. And biologically, that is the capacity that is referred to usually as the fight or flight mode. So we have to be really intentional to take in deep breaths. There's so many benefits to deep breathing. They say that when we're breathing out of that, shallow part of our lungs, that that's a stressful type of breathing. And I've never been really conscious about it until not actually I don't know. Don't really think about breathing. We just do it. We just are aware of it when we take it, right? So deep breathing is filling the entire lung. And when you fill the entire lung with air all the way to the bottom, that's where the calming receptors are. So we have to be intentional about breathing. And so this kind of deep breathing slows the heart rate. It brings more oxygen into the lungs, which is good for all of your organs. Improves your circulation. It also detoxifies your body. When you take in deep breaths, it actually massages the organs around the core and makes your lung capacity even more efficient and strong. And a long time ago, what was referred to as the death of fathers, they would practice something called a breath prayer. And they would go out to places where they could quiet themselves before the Lord, and they could just lay before the Lord and deeply breathe in His love. And they were consciously aware that they inhaled and they filled their lungs with air. That was the breath of God. That was the life of God. He breathed into man the breath of life. And every breath we take is a gift from God. And so they would practice that, and they would meditate on the scriptures, and they would breathe in for the Lord's kingdom. And exhale for His mercy and His breath. And even when our kids are, getting all excited, and they come in and they're just anxious about something, and they're going 100 miles an hour, and we go, stop, just take a breath. Has anybody ever said that to you? Just take a breath. Have you ever said that to anybody? Hebrews 12:10 says, looking away from all that was just, and looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to take the time to be like Him and to go to the feet of Jesus. And I'd like to do a little practice with you now, where we go into a time of reconnecting to the Father, right from the very beginning, and truly thankful God's been going to breathe new life into you. I want to breathe new life into every area in your life that you feel like has been dry and dead and lifeless. And I believe that sovereignly, by the work of His Spirit, He's going to do that very thing in you. The first selection, I've got two songs I want to play with two pieces. And the first selection is a little bit long. And it's uncomfortable because you're going to sit there and silence. But at first, even when you feel awkward, to allow the Holy Spirit and the words that are being sung to minister to you. And when you sense the Holy Spirit nudging you, I want you to take a deep breath. I want you to try to relax your mind and your body, where you may want to take a turn your deep into an altar and find that place with Him as the music plays and the lyrics are sung over you. It might be a time of repentance. It might be a time of testing and care in that person, that son or daughter, that husband, whoever or whatever it is. He doesn't want you to leave this place today carrying that with you. He wants to minister life to you and breathe fresh life and courage and strength into you. And when you're being tangibly committed to the presence of the Spirit of God ministering to you, if you keep holding, and you fill your lungs to the greatest capacity that you're able to inject, and then release that air. And continue that pattern of slow, deep breathing. And when that song comes, I believe God has a word to pronounce over you. So we're going to go ahead this weekend in your lives. If you want to turn around from your chair into an altar, into a position where you can just really set your eyes.